It is good to be with you this morning. Marvin Busey is my name, and my wife, Zelma, is here, and I'm glad that she has accompanied me today. We have been married 37 years, so she has heard a lot of messages, and she's praying real hard right now. And I heard today that we have a wedding anniversary the same day as Larry and his wife. Only they've been married 55 years, and we'll celebrate on the same day and enjoy it. And Jim and I are born on the same day. How about that? Unusualities within our congregation here for sure. Both good looking, amen. Let me ask you something. Do you ever fall prey to thoughts about your prayer life of, does it matter? Does it make a difference? Or, on the opposite spectrum, do I pray enough? Have I missed my prayer time today because I was interrupted? Do I have to make up for it? Is it like school homework where it's checked over and graded by God? Do I get it wrong sometimes? I once had a gentleman tell me, don't ask me to pray tonight in our home Bible study we were having in his home. He said, as he had attended some of our home fellowships, I usually ask the host folks to open in prayer and welcome everybody. Don't ask me to open in prayer tonight because I could get it wrong. I thought that was hilarious. Then, of course, that became a real point in my life when my daughter graduated from Sweetbriar College, and they asked me to do the prayer for one of their services over there. And then I found out that the prayer had to be written down and submitted for them to see what I was going to pray and be a part of the program, you know, and all of that kind of thing. And I'm like, huh, I'm an extemporaneous kind of a guy. And if the Holy Spirit don't say much, I don't either. That's just where I'm from. And today I felt earlier in the week, the Lord asked me some questions about prayer that perhaps you're asking. And I sense that some of you are in a spot where you need to hear from God. And God has something to say to you to encourage you about your prayer life and how he sees you. Interestingly enough, when we look and see, does our prayers matter? We need to examine then how does God see prayer? It's very interesting. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and we thank you that as we look into it, that there's going to be revelation knowledge of your whole program for our lives in some detail or degree that's going to be revealed today. We just thank you for it in advance. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is the teacher, that he is the guide, that he is the comforter, and certainly the intercessor, the prayer, the one who prays through us as we ought to pray when we don't even know how. The very perfect will of the Father God, whom we delight in as he loves us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And hide behind the cross and let all the glory go to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You want to pray a dynamic prayer? It's real simple. Close your eyes just a minute. Say, why you close your eyes? Don't want you to think your neighbor's peeking. That's what my kids used to say around the table. Oh, he was peeking. You ready? Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Ready? Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Let it soak in just a moment. Now, all of us have been taught some prayers, right? Now I lay me down to sleep. Thank you, Lord, for this daily bread and all of those things that we have learned through as children. But think about it again. Say it one more time. This is a genuine prayer from our heart, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Great prayer. Great revelation to know that you're loved by God. And you know what? Now you can look this way. You can come to God because he loves you. and like our children come to us, I never wanted my children to be afraid of me. I wanted them to honor and respect my word that I would give to them, that I would keep my word, but I never wanted them to be afraid of me. How about you as parents? Don't want your children to be afraid, right? Not that kind of fear. Reverence, yes, but not to be afraid of you. It's a horrible thing to envelop somebody with fear because of our facial expressions, our temperament, or our physical presence, whatever it might be. We want people to enjoy our presence, and God is like that. God has never wanted us to be afraid of him, and yet we have developed these nuances of being afraid, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because the church has taught some of that as well. But there's one thing for sure as we go into today's word. Prayer is about being with God. And it's not about you just talking to God. It's also about just being with God, listening to God. And I have this song. It's one of my favorites. It says, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, because I want to see you." And that's the way we pray, right? Lord, I want to see you. I want to know that you're involved in what I'm about to ask you. Sometimes what we're asking for is not really what we need. That's a real phenomenon, huh? I thought it really was what I needed, but then God answers another way, and then we look back at it and we think, "Well, sure, I'm glad you didn't give me what I thought I needed. I'm glad you gave me what you knew I needed." Amen? Amen. I have a preacher friend who said that he had this young lady that he really fell in love with. She was a beauty queen there in Venezuela. And just a very attractive woman, and he prayed. He's just a new convert. He's praying, "Lord, this is the woman I really want to marry. She's beautiful. I thank you for her." And the Lord just was quiet. And he couldn't get it over in his mind. You know, what's going on with that? He prayed more, and he prayed harder, and he fasted, and he prayed, and the Lord wasn't giving him any answers. And then one day, there was somebody that came to him with a word. The Lord says no to whatever you're praying for. The Lord is saying, "No, you're not asking him rightly." And so he backed off, and he just began to ask for God's will to be revealed to him. The woman married another man. It broke his heart. Oh, he was devastated. He thought for sure he is going to be a single man the rest of his life. And then he married a woman that they're still married if they're living. He moved out to the West Coast. And Fred Malier, he was a wonderful man of God, and he wrote books on marriage. And he said, "I am so glad God did not answer my prayer." Went back to Venezuela, he said, about 20 years later. The young woman that had been so attractive and voluptuous there and that he wanted to marry was now 45, 50 pounds overweight. And she was so slovenly, and she had no desire for God. And he looked at his wife, and he said, "Boy, thank you, Jesus. I could have been married to her. She was a grump, and she was so complaining. She had no idea of what God's plan for her life was like, and he was so glad he had not been ensnared to lose an opportunity of serving God because of a wrong decision there. I'd like to ask you to look at a few scriptures dealing with some of these notions. Does our prayers matter? Do they count? Are we living good enough? One of the elders at the Presbyterian Church where I pastor now, he says, "We got to pray harder." Young lady there, only in her maybe about 50, she's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and then delivered from it. And now they've come back and said there's a little lesion found on her lung, and they're praying for her and praying for her. And he tells the congregation every Sunday, "We got to pray harder." And I tell him every Sunday, "What's harder praying going to get us? What does that mean? What do you mean when you encourage the congregation to pray harder?" Well, what does it mean when somebody says, "We got to pray longer, we got to pray harder"? Maybe we need to do something along with our prayers. Well, basically, prayer is just really coming to being with God and being able to be around him. And I want to encourage you in this, that God just holds his arms open to us. The writer of Hebrews caught the glimpse of it. He says, "Come boldly into the throne room of grace," because that's where you find help for your very present time of your need. You have a high priest who is intercessing and interceding for us. Isn't that a wonderful news for us today? So does prayer really matter to God? Well, if it didn't, why did God pray? Jesus was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, and he had this habit, and it was called prayer. And he prayed, and his disciples watched him pray quite often. And so if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 6, Jesus begins to teach on this very thing. and he gives us some insight into prayer. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5. Does God hear a sinner's prayer? While you're turning there. Big controversy in John 9. The man born blind, he's being inquired from the Pharisees. You were really blind? Yeah, I was born blind. You gotta be kidding me. How could you see? You weren't born blind. You probably have seen some. No, I was born blind. But this man over here is a sinner. How can he be able to do something for you? And the man looked at him and said, you know, if he was a sinner, then why is he doing the works of God? Because you know God doesn't hear a sinner. He sort of slammed them back in their face, you know. But Jesus, he was just going along through life. And then he says to the good folks that are listening here in Matthew's gospel, he says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they are heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Let's read that again. Therefore, be not like them who ask over and over and over, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Well, let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thou art the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? And then he continues, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Wonderful teaching on prayer. Why do we not have vain repetition? Because it's not begging that moves God. It's not your problem that moves God. In your prayers, if you're thinking that because I'm really in a serious place now, I will now really pray harder. Had a man tell me one time, I don't want to waste all of my prayers before God. So I don't ask him for things like headaches, but now I've got a real serious physical problem, so I'm going to ask him. Really sort of tickles your thinking of why people see God as having, okay, you've got these 10 points here, and if you use them all up now, like some video game, you're going to have to wait until you earn some more, right? Wrong. God's abundant in mercy. And abundant in blessing you. There is no hitting the bottom and saying, okay, we finally found the bottom where God's blessing's in. And there's no reaching the top because there's no height in how he wants to bless us. It's an overabundant God that we serve. And so in looking at when we come to God, we're not tapping into something that's going to run out. It's not like, okay, in 10 years we're going to run out of resources as we hear all kinds of fearmongers talking about the earth. God made the earth to remain. Just a sidebar, the earth is not coming to an end the way that mankind thinks that it's going to come to an end. It's just not. Why not? Because something's got to be here when he comes back. And he's coming back. Amen. Well, now that that's settled, we don't have to fear about any of that or pray about hardly any of that anymore as well. We can really get down to business to knowing God. You know, God really wants to answer all of our prayers. And a part of that deals with becoming in relationship more and more with him. Now, how does God see prayer? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 33, one of my favorite verses, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 33. David was a man of prayer. When you look at the Psalms, you see him constantly in prayer, calling out to God. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. I called to the Lord, and he heard my cry. Wow, over and over and over again, the man seems like he was always in a plight, huh? Maybe he was. And then Jeremiah, God says to him, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. If you don't have that one marked, then you need to have your pen out and ready to write a little star next to that verse. That is one that you can take to the bank and cash in. One of the Hebrew words for prayer that David wrote in the Psalms is Shaul, which means to cry out or to call to God as a petition, if you will. And it really means literally for us, ask for. And funny enough, that's what the name Saul means. He was the first king of Israel, and he was asked for by the people. Give us a king. We want to be like everybody else. So their cry was heard by God, and he gave them what they asked for, a king. God said, I want to be your king. Sometimes when we're praying like those kinds of things, God gives us what we've asked for, and then we discover that's not been always what it was best maybe for us as well. But because he loves us, he always has his choice in the wings. David was his choice. Here's a man after my own heart. Was he perfect? No way. He probably did more things bad than Saul in context, if you were to look. Adulterer, murderer, yeah, he is all of those kinds of things. But yet he never blamed anyone else. And he never looked around the corner to see if there was somebody there he could point the finger to. It was always, it's me, Lord. It's me. I'm the one that failed here. Not the people, not Bathsheba, not Uriah. It's me. And the Lord looked at that and just blessed David over and over and over and over again. Another instance of God giving thought to prayer in Job chapter 42, Job is praying for his friends. And God heard his prayer and healed his friends. Those comforters of Job, you know, they had criticized and found fault with Job for 30 odd chapters after all that happened to Job in those first three chapters. And then they're struck themselves with a problem in their physical body and they're sick and they just can't get better. And God says to them, if you go to Job and have him pray for you, I'll heal you. And so all of these comforters of his, they come and he prays for them and God hears his prayer and heals these three men. And God then says, I give double back to you, Job, of everything that you've lost. What a wonderful place of prayer that involves a man who had been so long destitute and seemed to be forsaken by God. If you're feeling like God has forsaken you today, good news. God is hearing your prayer and he knows all about you. The very hair on your head is numbered. There's not one of them that he has not lost count of. In Chronicles, Solomon's dedicating the temple. There's another word for prayer there, tefillah. And there we find it means supplication or intercession. And Solomon says, when your people, when they come here to this place, or they even are far away and they look to this place, when they cry out, they failed, they've worshiped other gods, they've done other things. When they come and hear and they confess their sin, or they look here and confess their sin, I ask you, Father, to let them hear for you from heaven, hear their voice, hear their cry, and forgive them of that sin and bring them back into right relationship with you. And you know what God said to him? Because you've asked me this, this is what's going to happen. Every time that they sin, if they look back to this place, if they call upon my name, I will hear their prayer and I will forgive them. What a great thing to understand that every time we're quoting 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if my people who are called by my name, right, will repent, will confess their sin, if they get that off and get it out of the way, I will hear them. Everybody say, God hears.
God hears.
Every time I say,
every time I say anything.
He hears it all. He hears the bad. He hears the indifferent. He hears the doubt. He hears the unbelief. He hears the fear. He hears the joy. He hears the comfort. He hears out all. And it's recorded. If you could pluck out of the chairs here, they have heard tons of good word. And they've absorbed the word. Words don't stop. Words continue forever. When you look at the physics of sound, it just continues to go. But wherever it bumps into something, it gets absorbed. Thus, we have records back in the day. And tapes. And CDs. Why? Because the sound was put through some sort of microphone that went in through some electrical places and the waves went into the plastic and then they put a needle on it and voila, we got to hear what was said years ago. And we're returning back to vinyl more and more. Isn't that amazing? Because there's a bigger spectrum of sound and highs and lows than what you have on CDs, amazingly enough. Old technology was better. Imagine that. See, Jim, there's hope for us. In our prayers, they are heard by God. And it's not a wonder that they're stored. It's not a wonder when Jesus is walking into Jerusalem and he says to those who are saying, tell all these people be quiet. It's not a wonder at all when he says that the stones will cry out the praises and thanksgiving unto God if I tell them to be quiet. Why? Well, just about 1,400 years, no, not quite that far, 700 years earlier, David is every seventh step coming up to Jerusalem, offering a dozen bullocks and sheep and oxen, and the musicians, 40,000 Levites playing, singing, all of that crowd are singing and praising. All those rocks had all that praise. That's just one excursion. Now imagine every Passover or every year, thousands of people coming up to the temple, every Pentecost, every feast of in gathering, all those thousands of people coming up that road praising, saying the Psalms over and over again unto God, praying. All those stones had all those words in them and Jesus knew it. Isn't that wonderful? And what does God say about his house? Jesus is standing there. You have made God's house a den of thieves. Because it was made to be a house of prayer for all nations, not just Jews. A house of prayer for all nations. Now, God took that mystery of what the Temple Mount was to be, and he said, okay, let's do something real phenomenal. Let's make you a temple. Now you're a house of prayer. Put your hand right here on your heart. Let's say it out loud. I am a house. House. God's house. House. A house of prayer. Amen. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is in you interceding. He's speaking out of you the perfect will of God. We have in heaven an intercessor, Jesus Christ, our high priest, who is interceding for us all the time. Intercession is just another word for prayer. He's praying for us all the time. Holy Spirit in us praying for us. Why do I get beleaguered about prayer and my ineffectual thoughts of how God is answering my prayer? I really like Tuesday nights when you guys get on the phone and call in and pray. I like the flow of how everything goes. It's not so dynamic as far as goosebumps all the time or tears being shed all the time or anything else in our emotional place. But there is a place of where people simply say to God, I believe that you're going to touch so-and-so right now. You're going to give them a job. You're going to heal their body. You're going to heal their marriage. You're going to bring their children home. You're going to make a way for that family. You're going to be provision for them. What is that about? That's just cooperating with what God already wants for that to happen. He wants good things to happen for people. So when you are speaking prayer over situations, you are in business with God. You're on a different level than being in business with Apple or with another company around and making kinds of money. Now we're really making things for eternity, not temporary. How many of you know all iPhones are going to burn up one day? How many of you know $1 trillion isn't going to mean much after a while? And that's what they just made, I think, on the stock market, right? How many of you understand that everything is going to fail, everything's going to be changed, but there's going to be one thing that's going to remain, and that's what God has been a part of in you. You're going to remain. God says in Ecclesiastes through Solomon as he's wondering about the things of God, he says, but God has put eternity in the heart of man. To know that he's not just here for just the moment, but he's here for a long time. And there's things to be done that are going to have eternal value by and by. I love this whole aspect that God wants to pull us up to another level this morning of seeing that our prayers have great value. I posted in Facebook yesterday a little comic I read on prayer. A little fellow is reading in the Word of God. It says in James 5:16, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. In the next little block in the comic, the same kid is reading Romans 3:10. But there's none righteous, no, not one. And then he looks up. So whose prayers are going to get answered? Your prayers, because you have believed in Jesus. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you something. Does God the Father hear his Son pray? Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, he also loves you. Jesus came to show that love to us. So the disciples, in their anxiousness to want to learn how to pray, when they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, he gave them a couple of stories, and we're going to close with these. In Luke chapter 17, you have the woman who comes to the unjust judge who fears neither God nor man. And she's asking for an inheritance to be given back to her, something that belongs to her. And Jesus is telling the story. Some of the people that are there probably are familiar with. And the judge doesn't grant it initially, but she comes back. And she said, this is right. This is what the law says, that I own this. I deserve this. This is my inheritance. And the judge realized after a while that this woman was not going to leave him alone. And so he said, because she's going to keep me up all the time, I'm just going to give her what she wants. Jesus then says, how much more your Father in heaven longs for you to have which is yours, that he'll give it to you expediently. He'll come and answer quickly. And then in chapter 18, he gives this little story about prayer. There came a Pharisee and a publican to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee said, I thank you, Lord, you got me up this morning and that I am a Pharisee. I thank you that I'm not like that sinner over there. I thank you that I've been able to give my tithes and offerings, and I thank you I know the Torah. I thank you that I know the Word. I thank you of who I am. And then Jesus said, the publican smote his chest, head bowed, and he simply said, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. And he said, I tell you, that the publican, that tax collector, that evil person went away home justified. What happened to the other guy? He didn't get anything because he didn't need anything. A lot of the problem in Christianity today is a lot of misplaced, if you will, thoughts about who we are. There's this thing going on in the earth to say you are somebody and trying to push you up. And then there are these things where you are nobody, push you down. God wants you to see who you are in Him. What does it matter who you are here? Social status, names, titles. What does it mean? It means nothing. But when we're in Christ, you're a king's kid. And there are things that you have that are especially for you. Father, we thank you here this morning because your word declares that whatever we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. When we knock, it'll be opened unto us. Lord, I'm reminded of what David said in Psalm 3. All kinds of people were saying about him that there was no way for him. There was no help for him. And he said, I cried to you, Lord, and you heard me from your holy hill. I laid down. I slept. I awakened, for thou hast sustained me, Selah. Lord, that's the way we are this morning. There are all kinds of things being said about us at times, but we understand that you have said something about us. You call us your own. You call us son or daughter. You call us your child. And we come to you as that today. In Jesus' name. Just remain right there in prayer just a moment. For I feel like that the Holy Spirit is ministering some things in answer to some of your prayers. And if you just take a moment and listen. The Holy Spirit speaks. Sometimes we're so busy talking, we don't get to hear. I hear an encouragement word for someone here this morning. Your prayer life is coming up to another level. And there's going to be things in your household that are going to begin to change because of your prayers. We hear the word breakthrough a lot. But I just encourage you that that is a good word for you. Breakthrough. For it's been like there's been a wall there. And the Lord says, it's not been a wall. It's just been a period of time. And now the breakthrough comes. Enjoy the presence of the Lord more. Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Would you take the person's hand there next to you? There's a scripture that says that is as if touching any two, just two or three of you when you get together, touching in agreement for anything in prayer, our Father in heaven hears us and grants those prayers. There's something about the power of agreement that releases grace for that need. Would you just out loud pray this? I agree with my brothers and sisters. I agree in Jesus' name whatever they need. I agree right now for a flow of grace. Don't deserve it, Lord, but you love me anyway. You love us. Thank you. Devotion time is going to be really refreshing for some of you, because there's an awareness the Holy Spirit's going to give to you, and it's going to be wonderful. I just see it. The condemnation and the guilt and things that used to lay there that you had to pray through first is just going to be gone. Huh, you're a house of prayer. You are a house of prayer. A presence of the Lord lives in you. As you leave here today, if you hear nothing else, remember, God is praying in you, the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus is praying for you. You are surrounded by the prayers of millennia of saints. Their prayers are still going on. My goodness, the power that is being released in this earth right now, with thousands of churches that open in prayer, close with benediction, prayer over offerings, prayer over communion on this first Sunday, prayers for the sick, prayers over Sunday school classes, children praying. It's dynamic in its proportion. I can't even make the words where it seems to be where you could understand it. It is powerful. And you're a part of it. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me now? If there's anyone that needs... any agreement with you in prayer over something, I would be glad to pray with you following the service today, my wife and I. We have watched the miracles happen so often. Simple prayers. They weren't majestic in my way of thinking as far as the words that were used. Sometimes they weren't even prayed by us, but by others. We watched God move, and He is moving now. And He has moved here this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of prayer to bless your people. Lord, you're looking at them right now, and you're smiling upon them. Your face is turned toward them, and you're blessing them this week as they come and go, as they lay down and get up. You bless them going and coming. In Jesus' name, amen. You are blessed. Amen. Go with the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Love you.
God bless you. Love you, too. You know, you wouldn't be much...